Last week we began a series on the family entitled Family Matters. It's a play on the word matters. That means that the family matters to God, and God discusses family matters in the Bible that we ought to take note of. And we learned last week the principle of personal responsibility. That means every member in the family has a personal responsibility or personal responsibilities within the context of the family. That means we are held accountable for the choices that we make. And last week we looked at choices that trouble a home. And that if we choose to make choices that trouble the home, that there are consequences that come with those choices. And he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, out of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 29. Tonight I want to look at this subject matter. And before I do, I want to take time just to thank a couple of people. One of them is Evan Daugherty, who took the skid loader this morning. And we bought a pusher for it last fall or towards the end of the year. And he used that pusher and saved us from bringing somebody in today and got all that done this morning before the services. And Evan, we'll thank you for your labors on behalf of the church. And then I think of that church sign that gets changed every week, and now it's getting changed in the cold. And Bethany Buckmaster has fulfilled that ministry faithfully. And who helps you with that, Bethany? Your dad sometimes. And we thank the Lord for Bethany doing that ministry behind the scenes and having something fresh on our sign every week. And these things go unnoticed, but they're important. And everything that gets done for the Lord is important, and God takes notice of it. Because God takes notice of it, we ought to take notice of it as well. Tonight I want to preach on the foundation of biblical communication as it relates to the family. Now, the truth of the matter is the principles that I'm going to teach and preach tonight are principles that are good for all relationships of life. By the way, life is about relationships. And so we need to learn and be reminded ever so often of the biblical principles of communication, because they are important in our home environment. Family matters, and God taught us how to communicate. Somebody said communication is the interchange of ideas between two or more people. I think that's a very basic definition. Maybe doesn't give us a thorough definition, but a basic definition. Someone else said communication is sharing one's thoughts and feelings with another or others through words, gestures, or touch. A little bit more to that definition of what's involved, what are the elements of communication. Somebody else wrote this: communication is the process of sharing yourself, both verbally and non-verbally, in such a way that the other person can both accept and understand what you are sharing. Communication. Children will learn how to communicate effectively or ineffectively based upon what they learn in their home, what they see in their home growing up. They're going to learn their communication skills from mom and dad. And so if we are practicing biblical principles of communication and we lay that foundation for our home, how much are we helping our children if they can learn those things in the context of our home? That is important. There needs to be open channels for communication to take place easily. I hope in your home, in the busyness of life, that you have some time set up to communicate. I hope that your life isn't so much of a rat race that you have very few times in a week that you actually talk to one another. God gave us our homes so that we could practice biblical principles of communication. And sad to say, I'm hearing it from people that are secular. I'm hearing it from people that are Christians. If you go out, you eat somewhere in a restaurant, likely you'll see a family or you'll see a couple sit down. They'll look at the menu. Once they've picked out what they want to eat, put the menu down and pick up their phone. And two people that are going out to dinner to enjoy fellowship or to enjoy communication have little communication. Here's a family, husband, wife, children at a restaurant, and five people, five gadgets. Five people on five gadgets around the dinner table. Do you see anything that's kind of weird about that? We are really giving up something very valuable today that God gave us, and that is communication one with another. FaceTime. And I'm not talking about the Apple app that you can call around the world. I'm talking about face-to-face. I'm talking about eyeball-to-eyeball. I'm talking about enjoying each other's company and communication. There are a number of principles in the Scripture that lay a good foundation for us to be biblical communicators. And I want to look through those tonight because I think they'll help us in our homes. And it is an important family matter. Most of the family trouble that comes up in our homes is due to a lack of communication or misunderstanding or people just not talking to one another. And when we're not talking, watch this, we're not building relationship. Communication builds relationship. And so if we're not communicating and we're not practicing those biblical principles of communication, then we're not building relationships. Brethren, our family relationships need to be close. And it comes through communication. So I want to give you a number of principles tonight, more teachy than preachy, but I'm certain I'll probably get preachy in some of it. So bear with me tonight. Take notes if you want to. First of all, the first principle is the principle of honesty. The principle of honesty. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 18. Trust is the foundation of all relationships. When trust is broken, a relationship is injured in a great way. Honesty builds trust. Dishonesty destroys trust. And so in the context of the family, it is important that we live open lives before one another. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Let me say some things about this particular principle in our homes. Hidden information in a family is unwise. Here's a man, and he's got hobbies. And he's to be one flesh with his mate. That's in all areas of life. We're to be open. We're to be joined together. And he goes out, and he has a gun picked out that's about $1,000. And he says, boy, I'd like to have that gun, but boy, I know my wife. I don't think she would be pleased with me spending $1,000. So he works around to do it without his wife ever knowing. I'm giving a practical example. I'm giving something that could or could not happen, maybe. But that's not wise to go about it that way. It's wise to be open. It's wise to talk through things. It's wise for you and your wife to be talking through expenditures and things in your life. It's wise that your wife knows where you're at during the day and you know where your wife's at during the day. There's wisdom here, folks. And the wisdom is to have an open relationship. I find that that is threatened. That is one of the things that threatens our homes. Children, it's wise for you to be open and honest. If mom and dad ask you a question, give them the full truth on it. Be open. Be honest. That breeds healthy relationships. Hiding things doesn't breed healthy relationships. What it does do is it breeds distrust. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Family members need to be open and truthful with each other, even when it seems like it's the hardest thing in the world to do. The best way to address matters is head on. The best way is not to talk about a problem that you have to somebody else in the church when there's a problem in your family. The best way to do it is to talk to family members. If you've got a problem with a family member, if there's something going on that you don't like, if you see something that's scary, and man, if we keep going this direction, it's not good. Sit down and talk. Communication is a wonderful thing. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're in the context of husbands and wives in verse number 7. And I want you to see in verse number 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. The word means deceit or to be subtle or to be slippery. You want to enjoy the days of your life and your family? You keep an open relationship. You keep an honest relationship. You keep a relationship that's without any guile. You're not trying to be slippery. You're not trying to work around your mate. And you're not trying to work around your parents. Open relationships. Honest relationships. Transparency as to who you are. By the way, that means you ought to have time with your family. My life ought to not be so busy that it's on everything else and I have no time with my family. To be transparent, to be honest, to have communication. It's important in our relationships. Here in the context of husband and wife, the Bible challenges the man specifically here to live a life without guile. Live a life without deceit. Be open. Be honest. But she's not open. You be open. But he's not open. You be open. Okay? You contribute the right element into the marriage or into the family. Honesty's important. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 17. I understand there are difficult situations where it's hard to be truthful. Do you tell a dying loved one the truth about his condition? Yeah, you do. In time, in the right spirit, you're truthful. Do you tell your wife you don't like her new hairdo? Won't go there. You know, here's the deal. A couple of illustrations there, but here's the deal. Where it's tough to be truthful, ask the Lord for wisdom and tact. But be truthful. Don't be somebody that's dishonest and not transparent in your relationships. Don't hide things from your mate. I know this. I know of situations in past counseling sessions where one or the other has gotten credit cards and charged them to the max. Watch this, without their mate knowing. That's deadly. That's going to hurt a marriage in a big way. It's not just in finances. Listen, moms, you are with your children a lot more, generally speaking, than husbands are. That means you see things. That means there's things that maybe you have an insight to that your husband doesn't. And I know in our home, me and my wife talk. And there's been times, many times, that we've talked and she's brought things to the table. Hey, honey, I'm seeing this. Hey, honey, so-and-so needs more time with you. Hey, honey, we need to pray about this with communication. Communication, open things. Those are hard things to talk about, but those are important things. Communication in your marriage, if there's concerns going on. I know my dad shared the story years ago, early in their ministry, he just went hog wild into ministry. And he told me, Mom sat down with him one day and said, if this is the way it's going to be, it's not going to be this way. It can't be this way. She was open. So you know what she was saying? She was saying, I need you. I need your time. I need you in my life. Those are hard points of communication, but it's important. It's important that we're transparent with each other. Number two, the principle of confidentiality. The principle of confidentiality. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 13. I want you to turn there. Within the home, this is very critical. It's very critical that as marriage partners and with your children, that there are things that remain confidential. That you don't go talking about your mate or talking about their problems to someone else. That you don't reveal a secret that your child shared with you with someone else. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. A prudent man concealeth knowledge in Proverbs 12, verse number 23. You want to break trust with someone in your family, just open your mouth about things that they have shared with you that they want you to stay there. In your family, it's important that that happens. Ladies, gentlemen, in your marriage relationship, you want to hurt your marriage relationship, you reveal things about others to other people. You keep that thing confidential. If something is shared and it's shared in a confidential manner in the home, make sure that your mate, make sure that your children have the knowledge that you will keep that confidential. It's an important area of communication, and the Bible speaks of it. And the Bible says here that a prudent man knows how to conceal knowledge, knows how to hold knowledge. Number three, the principle of discretion. The principle of discretion. Somebody said that discretion means this: realizing that not everything that comes to my mind has to be said. Whew. Some of our minds run like this, don't they? I mean, there's always things running through our minds. And discretion, the better part of us says, even though it's there, maybe I shouldn't say it. Sometimes this frustrates me. I'm talking to somebody and they're about to talk to me about something, and then they do this. You ever had this happen? Oh, I'm not going to talk about it. What do you mean? You're not going to talk about it. Well, you know what they did? They practiced discretion. They thought, ooh, it's better not to talk about that. That's discretion. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 2. These principles will help us lay a solid foundation for biblical communication in your home. Young people, let me give you one of your battles as you're growing up. And that is the communication tactic of sarcasm. Sarcasm can be fun. Sarcasm can be teasing and joking and pulling each other's legs. But sometimes sarcasm is spoken when it shouldn't be. And sarcasm is one of those things that as a young person you have to be very careful, because it can become, watch this, a habitual form of communication. And it would be wise for us at times to, maybe that's not something to be sarcastic about. Maybe I ought not to let that be a habitual form of communication in my life. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 2, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep or guard knowledge. That thou mayest regard or hedge about. Use discretion as a hedge of protection in my life. Watch this. Let's take it out of the personal realm and let's bring it to the home realm. Use discretion as a hedge of protection in my home. That if I'm careful and I guard my words in my home, it's going to be a hedge that protects me. That's what the word regard means. It means to hedge about with discretion. So if I want to put a hedge around my home, then one of the things that God's given me to do that is to practice this principle of discretion. Not everything that comes to my mind has to be said. Discretion number one requires a commitment to guard knowledge and hold back one's words. Hold it back. The fool doesn't hold anything back. He uttereth all his what? Mind. Everything that comes to his mind, he utters. But not a person of discretion. A person of discretion is guarding knowledge and knows how to guard his words. Discretion requires the commitment to think before you speak. It requires that commitment. Every once in a while, we forget about that commitment. And discretion's a good reminder. That principle is a good reminder. I need to think before I speak. The Bible says, he that keepeth his mouth guardeth or keepeth his life. If I guard my mouth, I'm guarding my life. Let's take it this way. If I guard my mouth,
I guard my family relationships. Let's flip it the other way. If I don't guard my mouth, I'm not guarding my family relationships. I'm not guarding my life. You want to rip down walls of protection in your home? Don't control that. Very clear principle in Proverbs on the subject of communication. Discretion requires the commitment to think before you speak. Somebody asked these questions. Is it true? Before you speak, is what I'm going to say true? Number two, is it necessary? Is what I'm going to say, is it necessary? Number three, is it helpful? Is it going to help the matter? Number four, is it kind? Those are good questions. Before I say something, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? And is it kind? Discretion also requires the commitment to avoid strife. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 3. Look there, if you will, with me as we teach through these simple principles on communication tonight and helping our home and addressing things that will help our home. Discretion requires the commitment to avoid strife. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. If you're part of a family, you ought to make this commitment. I am not going to get into arguments. I'm not going to let myself go back and forth with somebody in my home over something with a wrong spirit that I have to win. I will have discussions. I will have discussions where somebody has an opportunity to say something, and I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to understand, and I'm willing to come back and ask questions to clarify and maybe bring a different point of view. But we're not going to argue and have strife in our home. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. It's honorable to God if you have a home like that. And we could flip it tonight. It's dishonorable if your home is full of strife all the time. That's not the way God set it up to be. Discretion requires the commitment to avoid strife. It requires the commitment to guard against corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I've got to make sure that what I'm communicating is not corrupt in my home. Let's look at another principle, not only the principle of discretion, not only the principle of honesty tonight, but the principle of approachability. The principle of approachability. This is important. I come home, and sometimes I come home, share a part of my life, and I have a lot on my mind from the day. I have burdens of people. I have things that have deadlines that are pushing. Like many of you, I have life. And if somebody wants to approach me and I come home and I demonstrate that I'm not home, that is my mind somewhere else. And my wife approaches me and says, "How was your day?" And I act like I never even heard what she said. Is she going to judge me as being approachable? No. And she's not going to want to ask me a second time, "How was your day?" She probably just made a judgment, or at least I put her in a place to make a judgment of, I guess he doesn't want to talk or listen to me. Now, brethren, if that message is sent too many times back and forth, that becomes a real problem. Because if we're not approachable and we're not listening, you know what the other person begins to do? They begin to shut down. What does that mean, preacher? That means they don't talk. That means that they deem you as an unapproachable person. Teenagers, let me give you some wisdom on this. If mom and dad ask, "How was your day?" Or if mom and dad ask a question, don't give a grunt. Ugh. Yes? No? Like, I wish you wouldn't ask. Let's learn to be approachable. Let me share with you out of the Scriptures where the Bible teaches this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 5. I think it's an important verse. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 20, verse number 5, that a man of understanding is an approachable person. Okay? It is important, if you're going to be a good communicator, that you be approachable. In Proverbs 20, verse number 5, the Bible says this, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. That means there's things that are going on in the heart of man. But a man of understanding will do what? Will draw it out. A man that's willing to listen. A woman that's willing to listen. That is approachable. Watch this. That shows interest in the family members. Is somebody that is able to draw from the depths of a heart. Parents, let me encourage you in your relationships with your young people. Let me encourage you to be approachable. Let me encourage you to take interest in the interest that your young people have, whether you have it or not. Take interest in their interest. Be approachable. Let them talk without, watch this, giving them your opinion all the time on how it can be better. Let them talk. Be a man of understanding. Be a lady of understanding. Be approachable. Young people, be approachable. If mom or dad ask a question, talk about it. You don't have anything you need to hide from them. Let's have approachability in our homes. That's an important principle in the Scriptures here. The principle of acceptability. Next. We're moving along tonight. The principle of acceptability. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at verse number 32. The principle of acceptability. The lips of the righteous. What's the next word? No. We have knowledge of what is what is what? Acceptable. That means that as believers, God has put something in us, a knowledge, that we know what is acceptable speech and we know what is unacceptable speech. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That is, there are certain things that we should not say. In the context of the home, in the context of anywhere. There are certain things that we should not say. They just are not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. What did the psalmist say in our text that we opened with tonight? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, which by the way, those two are joined together, be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Can I give you some things that are just not acceptable to the Lord? The word gosh is not acceptable to the Lord. Heck. Darn it. Jeez. Freaking. There are other words that I'm not going to mention. But Christians' language get too loose. And we know what's acceptable and what's not. Now, there are other words that are variations of those words that we know are swear words. And then there are words that are substitute for those words that people use. And I used a few of them, and there are more that we ought to stay away from. They should not be used in our homes because they are not acceptable to the Lord. We should not be talking about bodily functions openly, among others. That is not acceptable to the Lord. It may be funny. It may be something that you think is funny. It may be norm for you to talk about that in your home, but that is not excellent speech. And we ought to know what is acceptable before the Lord. And we ought to realize that Jesus is with us at all times. And whatever we're using in our speech, we are using in the presence of Christ. And I just want to say to our church, we need to sharpen our speech. We need to stay away from this kind of stuff. We know what's acceptable. Our heart's desire is to bring before the Lord what is acceptable, and we get sloppy. And as the pastor, I hear some things from time to time that I don't want to hear. I just, don't tell me that. Don't say that again. Coming from my brethren, and I want to warn you tonight, we know what's acceptable. There's the principle of acceptability. Let's remember our speech is in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The principle of acceptability. Number five, I think it is, the principle of an appeal. The principle of an appeal. Turn to Esther chapter 7. Young people, I want to help you with something tonight. This will be a real blessing to you. Esther was an interesting individual in the Bible. She knew and understood the power of an appeal. My daughters are learning this. Dad, can we do this as they hold a bowl of ice cream in their hand with a spoon? You know, God puts authorities over us, and those authorities, they watch for our souls, right? One of their responsibilities is to care for the direction of our lives and where we're going and help us and shape our lives to go in the right direction. Esther had an authority. It was a king. And Esther had a real burden on her heart about something that she felt was right. She could have gone to the king and said, King, I think you should. She could have gone to the king and said, King, I'm going to. Or she could go to the king and say, King, if I have found favor in your sight, could I bring something before you that you might consider? That you would allow me to deliver my people? And she made an appeal knowing that she was subservient to the king, but she used the power of appeal. Now watch this. The king could have said no, right? The king legally had the right to kill her, okay, in the culture. But she used the power of appeal. That is, watch this, she knew how to come across to that person that was in authority. Young people, your mom and dad, I'm going to give you a little secret tonight, okay? Your mom and dad are going to be freer with you if you're not telling them what you're doing all the time. If you're honoring them by saying, you know what, mom and dad, you're over me. Here's what I would like to do. Is that okay with you? And mom and dad, whatever you say, I'll accept with a good attitude. That's an appeal. Young people, hear me. As you get older, there is a temptation for you to just live your life, step over mom and dad, just do your thing and expect them to go along with it. But listen, as long as you're in your home under authority, you have responsibility to honor them. And one of the ways that you honor them is you learn the principle of appeal. You learn how to approach them. You learn how to ask. You don't take things for granted. You have an honor system in your home that always honors mom and dad and says, Mom and dad, whatever you think is best here, it's up to you. Here's what I'd like to do, mom and dad. If you'll approach life that way, you know what? There is great power in an appeal. And we learn that from Esther. All right? Next, the principle of affection. The principle of affection. Do we only communicate by our words? Is that the only way we communicate? No, we communicate by body language, don't we? I'm communicating right now. Am I communicating in a harsh way? No. Could I communicate in a harsh way? A demonstrative way? Yes. Okay. We communicate through words. We communicate through tone. We communicate through body language. And we communicate through touch. Now, who instituted all that? Did man figure all that out? No. Who set all that up? God set all that up. God said, this is the way that you communicate. If Eric Haywood came up here and I shoved him off the platform, I communicated to him. If Eric Haywood came up and I put my arm around him, and I said, hey, Eric, I just want to appreciate something about you. I've communicated, haven't I? If I backhand my son, I've communicated. I believe that there's a danger of raising children in a home without showing any physical affection. I believe that it is one of the ways that God gave us to communicate with each other. And I believe that our world and everything that's wicked that's happening in our world has almost caused us to shy away from proper physical affection. I study Jesus. Come and sit on my lap. Children, I want to communicate to you. I want to communicate tenderness and love. I want to communicate that by affection. Homes are set up differently. I understand that. Verbal expression of affection means telling others how you feel about them and how much you love them. The home is to be a nurturing environment. If you were at the marriage conference this year, the marriage retreat last year, I should say, you remember Pastor Edwards speaking about nurturing. And what did he use as a word that was associated with the word nurture? Anybody remember? To keep warm. Right? To keep those relationships in your home warm. Now watch this. I don't think that the principle of affection and showing it in our home should be something that makes up for a whole bunch of things. And it's a way that we just kiss up if that's the language that is appropriate to describe that. But I believe that it should be an extension of our other ways of communicating love and care to one another. It's a shame for a child to grow up and never hear from his mom or dad that they're proud of him or that they love him. Mom and dad, you may never heard that growing up. Can I encourage you to do something? Change that in your home. Change that. Make sure your kids know when you're proud of them. It shouldn't be every time you talk to your kids, it's a browbeat session. There ought to be times where you say, you know what, son, daughter, I'm proud of you. That ought to come out of our mouths. Verbal affection. Things that make them sense and know that you love them. Watch this. I firmly believe this. If you don't do your job in private on that matter, everybody needs built up. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have a child that builds himself up all the time. You're going to have a child that speaks about himself all the time because he never had mom and dad show proper verbal affection, physical affection in his life. A hug to your wife. A kiss. It's okay for your kids to see you kiss each other in your home. That's not evil. That's normal. That should be taking place between husbands and wives. A hug. A patting a family member on the back. A holding of a hand. Directly convey how you feel for them. Did you know that one of the curses of the end times is unnatural affection? Choose to show affection, young people, to your parents. I'm not proud of this, but in my high school years, there's about a period of 9 months where I didn't do that with mom and dad. And that wasn't good. I regret those 9 months. I get together with my father and my mother today. You know what I do? Every time I get together with them, I hug them. I love them. I want them to know it verbally. I want them to know it in an affectionate manner. Those are good. Parents, choose to show affection daily to your children. Young parents, hear me. Get this started early so that it becomes a normal part of your family, that your kids get used to it. That is a healthy thing in your home. It's part of communication. By the way, you study the scriptures of parents in the Old Testament. Jacob, before his dying, he's hugging his grandchildren. He's kissing his grandchildren. This isn't just normal in our day. It was normal in Bible days for people to show affection one to another. By the way, it is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice to bring that into your relationships. Children and parents get great encouragement, confidence, security from a proper expression of love, both verbally and in touch. Don't miss out on that. Don't raise your children without that. Don't let your relationship and your marriage grow to that. Maybe it has. Then revive it. Revive hugging each other. Revive a kiss before you leave for work in the morning, gentlemen. This is part of communication. Say, preacher, you're getting a little graphic. No, I'm not. I'm not going where I shouldn't go here. Just being practical and trying to help us to have normal, God-honoring relationships. And this is a principle that's part of communication. I didn't design it. God designed it. So let's follow God's design. This is right. This is normal. We would never consider letting our kids go for long periods without food or sleep. But regular meals and regular rest are no more important than regular portions of affection. Don't resist it. Here, as a teenager, and kind of feels like I've grown out of that. Okay? That was for when I was 10 years old and 9 years old and 8 years old. But I'm a teenager now. So here goes mom or dad to give a hug. And he pulls back a little bit. You know, if you pull back when somebody tries to show you affection, that does great damage. That's a rejection in some way. And so you may not be into all that, but within the context of your family, accept it. Receive it from one another. They're trying to communicate to you something. And that something is a good something. That something is love. And so Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him. Joseph, when he was brought near unto them, he kissed them and he embraced them. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. Were these people wrong? Were these people weird? I don't think so. I think that was good and normal and that was right. And I don't want us to shy away from affection in a world that is interpreting affection as wicked all the time everywhere. It's not wicked all the time everywhere. There are proper places, and the family is a proper place that you can show proper affection. Lastly, the principle of edification. I'll not have time to give that to you. And the other principle is the principle of listening. Not to interrupt somebody when they're talking. Controlling our emotional reactions. Ecclesiastes, Solomon gives us a wise principle here. And take no heed unto all words that are spoken. That's a powerful statement. Guess what? We live in tight confines called the home. Is there going to be some day that somebody in the home is going to speak something to us that doesn't come out right? Oh, yeah. You know what Solomon says about that? Don't take it to heart. Don't be too sensitive. Hey, give the benefit of the doubt. Hey, let go of that thing that day. Be understanding. Be forbearing on that day. And listening requires some commitments. I have more to say. I'll stop tonight. There are some important principles here. Now watch this. When a principle is given in the Scripture, our job is this. Lord, is my life reflecting that principle? Is there something here, Lord, in the foundations of communications that you've laid out? These are biblical ways to communicate. Is there something that's lacking within the context of my home? Because, Lord, family matters to you, and you've given us very clear principles that would better our communication with one another if we would take heed to them.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.